Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with Space Nerds Kavi and Benjamin. I have sort of a fun game that I've been playing with you both now over these past few episodes where when I hit new recording, it sends you back out to our green room, our virtual green room, and then you have to let yourself back into the recording studio. And there's almost a race now to see who gets back first. And I should maybe start keeping a tally count. I should keep a board.
Please do, because that sounds
this should be a game. This should be a sport, and someone we can have people bet on you. yeah, this is maybe like from now until Christmas. I'm gonna score who gets on first, and
so,
then
so far
I
today,
don't know.
Kyle got one, and I got one. It's all right. We started.
Yeah, currently, who's on first?
Well, I've just started this episode, so you're 1-1. You're tied. I will keep
Benjamin
this tallied, and I don't know what the prize or what the win or what like what the end goal of this will be. We'll figure that out, and we'll let you, the listener, know. But let us know hashtag Team Kavi or hashtag Team Ben. You know what I mean?
Like, oh. It's like that Captain America Iron Man thing. It's gonna explode.
It is on like Donkey Kong.
Who gets back into the recording studio first? We're talking about naming things and how NASA does such a great job with doing that. But also, I kind of want to touch about Easter eggs too, because I mentioned in last week's recording, I love that they'll put little nods of things on their spacecraft. So they put a piece of the Wright brothers plane on Ingenuity, which is I think the second time they've actually done that. I think they did that with another spacecraft as well. But then does anyone know what else they have put on?
I think now on Artemis they actually have a like a bolt screw from the Apollo 11 mission.
Really? Okay. And that's the thing. So many of these things are so low key. You only know if you know someone who knows. For example, Sherlock, the instrument on Perseverance, has to calibrate very frequently, and it calibrates using this teeny tiny little maze that's on it. And in the center of the maze is like the shape of the head of Sherlock, the fictional character Sherlock.
Really?
And I learned this from an engineer who works on Perseverance when I did an anniversary recording episode, and she told me, yeah, like it's really neat, like it'll calibrate and it has this little Sherlock figurine, or not figurine, but you know what I mean, like the head shape of it. But I had to scour the internet and found one really cruddy photo of it.
This and for so, the Mars rover Curiosity and Opportunity. Every year that they're there, they sing themselves happy birthday. The people at JPL, of course, they have all the different little gizmos and whatnot whirring just to do like a test spin. And there's a reason for it. It helps create vibrations on the rover and shakes off dust and whatever. But they also paid attention to the fact that turning on each little motor makes a different tone. So instead of just having it go through the process of turning off, you know, turning on little servo 1, 2, 3, 4 in order, just shake off the dirt. They did it in random order, depending on the tone. So now not only is it shaking the dirt off of itself, it's doing it to the sound of happy birthday. Mm-hmm. It's singing itself its birthday every year. And there's a recording of it. You can listen to it online. I'm sure you can find it. It's hysterical.
Yeah, I've heard that. I actually asked them if Perseverance does the same thing when I did this live stream. And she said, actually, it requires a lot of programming to get them to do that. And she didn't think that they were going to put that effort into Perseverance. So I don't think Percy sings herself her birthday song. But she's got, you know, Sherlock. And she had the stickers of the Rover family, which I immediately had to go find for my car. And there's something else that was on her and I can't think of it. But anyway, my point is that there are so many little Easter eggs, homages hidden in these spacecrafts on top of their symbolic names. And Perseverance, though, is a great example to bring up about kind of a new naming ritual that has been happening a lot. And Benjamin, you brought that up earlier about how often kids.
Oh, yeah. NASA obviously named a lot of their missions crewed missions, satellite missions, and such, landers, however they see fit. But NASA is also very well that they're a very public-facing organization, and they want to bring people into NASA, get them involved. And what better way to do it than reaching out to schools and get kids involved? And so they have had several times, they've had contests announced to the nation, you know, specifically to schools, like, we're going to send a rover to Mars. What are we going to name it? We're going to make a new shuttle. What are we going to name it? We're going to do this. What are we going to name it? And so kids are the ones who named Pathfinder, and kids are the ones who named Sojourner. And the runner-up names for Sojourner were Sacagawea and Harriet Tubman and Marie Curie and Amelia Earhart. These are some really, really good names that kids voted on. And Spirit and Opportunity were named by a 9-year-old girl. And she entered, she wrote a nice little poem or something like that about when she was young, she escaped Europe and moved here, and she had the spirit, and she was given the spirit and opportunity by coming here and learning and blah blah. And they're like, that's it.
NASA said, you know, name it after you, kid. Getting teary just listening to you.
Amazing.
NASA brings the kids NASA actually brings the kids to NASA if their school wins or if that little girl won, and it's like, here, welcome. We'd like you to meet the thing you named. They're very, very good at that public outreach type stuff. It's great stuff.
They're good. And sometimes, I'm going to say too, they accidentally hit the ball out of the park, so to speak. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Perseverance, because I remember that naming ceremony extremely vividly. And here's why. I was going to school for chemistry at that time. And I had actually shot an email to my professor and I said, hey, sorry, I'm going to be running a few minutes late because they're announcing the name of the Mars 2020 rover. And I just want to watch this and I'll be maybe like 10, whatever minutes late. And Alex Mather was the kid who won that. And he had this, just a beautiful short piece that he wrote. And he said, spirit, opportunity, all these are great qualities. I'm not going to cry. But, you know, the one thing that we're missing is perseverance. And so then I went to class. And I did not know at that time that that would be the last in-person class I would have before mm-hmm. COVID. And that was the last in-person class I had. And then everything just started shutting down. And to me, there's something so significant to me about that, you know, the name Perseverance was that rover. And we went through a global pandemic after that was named, and that JPL still persevered and they got that rover up there despite all the, you know, if you can remember and come back in time with us to that warped time zone of 2020, when it was like, at least in my state, there was like a news conference being done every day. And it felt like, oh my gosh, is this the end of the world? Like, what is happening? It was kind of a scary time. So the name Perseverance really stuck with me because it was like, wow, like, what a fitting name for this time. And it's not that they did that on purpose. They didn't choose that on purpose. But I think, like, to me, at least, there's a hidden layer in the name for Perseverance. But
no, I was just going to say, it's so impressive that we can actually get these incredibly meaningful names, kind of, you know, from the mouths of babes, as they say, mm-hmm. You know, these just highly meaningful things. And yet when we try to do like crowdsourcing for a name for a boat, we end up with Bodie
Bodie McBoaterson.
It's adults that are the problem. The children are mature.
Right. I was going to say, and of course the big symbolic meaning one is obviously the golden records on the Voyagers. And like, speaking of from the mouth of babes, one of the mm-hmm. very few English words spoken on that is Carl Sagan's son just saying hello from the children of planet Earth. God dang, guys, I did not want to cry this episode. That you know, if you want to talk about symbolism, that record has, God damn it, you guys.
Quick, change the subject. It also has nudes. It has nudes of humans.
Okay, I need to move on. So we have Apollo and Artemis. Mm-hmm. And of course, Artemis was just a brilliant logical name after Apollo to name the next mission to the moon for, again, many nuanced reasons, also being that we're going to send a woman to the moon, mm-hmm. which no woman has ever walked on the moon. So Artemis is the goddess of the hunt and the moon. And so that obviously made a lot of sense. And shout out to my good friend, Tim Gagan, who makes these amazing patches. And he made like the coolest Artemis patch of her pointing her arrow to, you know, outward away from the moon, because that's the idea, is that the moon is, this return to the moon is going to get us to Mars. Actually, you know what this makes me think of? The names, though, for pathway and gate, or gateway, I'm sorry, those aren't very romantic, are they?
A lot of NASA names don't start off very romantic, and they get changed as people, like Voyager was originally called the Mariner Jupiter Saturn mission, because the Mariner program was already underway when they started cooking up Voyager, and Voyager was going to be like a phase two of Mariner, so they just called it Mariner Jupiter Saturn mission. And they realized it's going to be doing a lot more than just Jupiter Saturn. So, and it's going to go someplace where nothing has gone before. So they changed it to Voyager, and they changed the name of the mission itself to the Grand Tour. I mean, so, I mean, everything starts off with goofy little names. The Pioneer mission. Wow. What a great mission, Pioneer. But it was first called the Galactic Jupiter Probe. And it's not really galactic. And
it's not, I feel really like probe in anything probably should not be there. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But I mean, do you think though it will be too outside of their caliber though? Because you know, we're going back to Uranus with a probe, and like the internet has exploded already with the jokes. Do you think maybe they will go with that?
Every single time I share an article on Science Actually about Uranus, those trend so much better than almost every other article because of the jokes, and the potty mouths come out, and it's great because it's funny.
Yeah, we're looking at all of you out there. We know.
Not me.
No,
I'm the mature one. I actually have a
call it by its original name, George.
George, yes, we should. We're named for King George. I actually have a great naming thing. That's like, I don't know how this got passed, but the Swift Observatory, you guys know the Swift satellite orbiting observatory. So it's designed to like detect, you know, X-ray bursts and gamma ray bursts. And so there's an instrument on Swift called the BAT, the Burst Alert Telescope.
Well, that's just fantastic.
And,
it's wonderful, but there's a specific kind of like code pipeline to let all the astronomers know whenever there's a gamma ray burst that's picked up from the bat.
I know where this is going. I'm loving this.
And it's called guano.
Oh.
I think it's a gray urgent archiver for novel opportunities.
Oh my god. Okay, there's going to be Uranus probe joke. There's going to be butt jokes, aren't there?
Absolutely.
It's happening.
If we can talk about bat guano, we can talk about.
All right. How is this that this is another episode? We're wrapping this up on our Apollo 1 ended up with poop on the moon. Now we're ending it with bat poop. I'm sensing a theme here. I don't know exactly what this means, but if you've listened to the whole thing, and you got to this point, you're in this with us. You are just as guilty as
you're
us
now,
on the other side of the microphone. We're going to wrap this up. This was really fun. This was really fun. I enjoyed this episode a lot, you guys. So I hope that our listeners did as well. As a reminder, as always, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, blah, 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 Space K Sarah. You can find these guys, the Science Actually Science, that is Benjamin's SciComm channel, and Fun Facts Science with Kavi on all the social media channels. And then, of course, you can follow IROC Space Radio on all the social media channels. And we love hanging out and doing this for you. And we really want to have you join in the conversation virtually, both after we air and also hopefully very soon, perhaps an after hours live stream where Benjamin will indeed have whiskey. And Kavi has also said he will drink randomly in the middle of the day. So you have been promised.
something. I need to look up some whiskey science, but this is going to be great.
I might just sit back and let you guys go. I'll be like, every time whoever loses the return has to take a shot or something.
You should quiz us on science stuff.
Oh, yeah, fun. Drunken science quiz. That's a great idea.
Oh, my God. I love drunk history, so that would be actually kind of amazing. So, all right, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to the Space Kaycera Show with space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio.